නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස සම්මා වාචා ආනන්ද භාවිතා බහුලී කතා රාග විනය පරියෝසානා හෝති දෝෂ විනය පරියෝසානා හෝති මෝහ විනය පරියෝසානා හෝති ති. Dear Dhamma friends, as you all can remember, we are discussing Janussoni Brahmana Sutta. So this sutta explains about the Noble Eightfold Path, and Buddha actually give an analogy of Noble Eightfold Path with respect to a Dhamma vehicle, as a supreme vehicle, as a kind of a divine vehicle. Actually, the incident happened when Venerable Ananda went on Pindapatha in Shravasti, and at that time a Brahmin called Janussoni was going through the city, and he was completely adorned with white color clothing, and again his chariot is also completely white, the horses used are also white, and everything was white. So people have noticed it and they were admiring it, and they were telling that it is a divine type of vehicle. So this incident has noticed by Venerable Ananda as well, and once he come back to Jetavanarama, so he mentioned this to the Buddha. So then he make an invitation, is it possible to give an analogy with this white color divine type of vehicle to the Dhamma? Then Buddha mentioned that divine vehicle is a simile for the Noble Eightfold Path. The Dhamma vehicle is a simile for the Noble Eightfold Path. So we are discussing now Noble Eightfold Path, and so far we have discussed Sammaditti, Samma Sankappa and Samma Vacha. Now we have come to Samma Vacha, the second part. The Sammaditti is the right view, Samma Sankappa is the right intention, and Samma Vacha is the right speech. So Samma Vacha, as you all can remember, are twofold. There is Samma Vacha, that is the right speech, which is with influxes, and it has results, good results, as well as it has a kind of a mundane type of aspect. So this is one type of Samma Vacha, so that we discussed last time. And again there's another type that is called supramundane type of Samma Vacha, that is Ariya Anasava Lokuttara Magganga. It is noble, free from influxes, and it is supramundane, and it becomes a path factor. Now here we need to understand, first of all we should know what is Miccha Vacha, what is the wrong speech. So the wrong speech is the false speech, Musavada is the first type, and then we have Pisuna Vacha, that is the malicious speech, and then we have Parusa Vacha, that is the harsh speech, and then Sampappalapa, that is gossiping or idle chattering. So these four are recognized as wrong speech. And when it comes to the mundane type of Samma Vacha, right speech, so we are trying to abstain from these four types of wrong speech. So Musavada Veramani, abstinence from the false speech. So one is trying to abstain from false speech. Now he is trying to speak the truth. Always he is now vigilant of what he is talking, and therefore as much as possible he is considerate about what he is speaking. Rather than simply talk, he is a bit careful what he is speaking. So whatever he is speaking has to be truth. And then it is coming to Pisunaya Vacha Veramani. So that means we are trying to abstain from divisive speech or malicious speech. And instead of telling malicious words or speech, so one is now trying to kind of generate kind of a peace instead of kind of a division. If there are certain parties already divided, already having certain grudges, so this person is now sort of developing his right speech by making a concord, kind of an agreement, kind of a peace talk among these two parties. Similarly, he is happy, he is enjoying when he see two parties or a group of people who are quite amicable, and then they are say in a peaceful manner, so they are quite in the concord. And therefore he encourages this kind of a unity, this kind of a peaceful dwelling. And then parusaya vacha veramani, so he is trying to avoid from harsh speech. Now his speech is quite soft, and again it does not hurt another person, and whatever he talks is basically the truth, as well as it is not malicious, as well as it is pleasant to hear. And therefore on the other side, assume that someone else is talking to him little harsh manner, so he has the ability to tolerate it instead of immediately reacting and he too involved with some sort of a harsh speech. Now he has a tolerance, he can bear it, rather than immediately he is also reacting, he can bear it, he simply ignore it maybe, and he is not going to react with harsh speech. And if someone has certain shortcomings, and if and this person get somewhat hurt, still he is not immediately shouting or blaming or hurting the other person. So he understands, okay, the other person has this type of shortcomings, so he has the ability to forgive, and then he can respect the other person's viewpoint. So it is not always that one is trying to win one's own viewpoint, but also has the skill to respect another person's viewpoint. So therefore, as much as possible, now he is living slowly and a kind of a spiritual life. Now he is slowly, not only he becomes a good person who is speaking good words, now he recognizes himself as going in a different path. And again, even if someone is abusive, using some abusive speech, still one is able to bear it, to tolerate it, or to even to be patient with it without going to react. So likewise, this person is, even though he has the capacity to react and even the ability to condemn the other person or criticize the other person, he is not immediately doing that, rather he is handling it in a diplomatic manner. Now whatever he is speaking is now pleasant to hear, another person likes to hear it, and he is talking to the heart. And again, many people are now like to listen to his words. So likewise, his way of speaking is now changing. And then it comes to sampappalapa veramani, where one is not involved with gossip, idle chattering. So he is careful of what he is talking. So the content is quite a useful content. It is beneficial to the other people. And again, it is with facts. And the speech is quite useful to another person, and the others are also getting the benefit of it. So others feel that if whenever this person is talking, so it has some meaning. So the others lend their ears to listen when this person is talking. So likewise, there's a change happens in this practitioner's way of speech. And then we can come today to the second level. Sammavacha ariya anasava lokuttara magganga. So as I mentioned, sammavacha is twofold. The first one is the mundane type of sammavacha: abstain from false speech, abstain from malicious speech, abstain from harsh speech, and then abstain from gossip. Now he is turning it further and refining it further to supramundane type. So through the speech he is not trying to make a self. So you know, even when you are talking the truth, you can highlight yourself, you can really make a person out of it, you can show off, you can sort of course can take the other's attraction or the center of view, but still he is now trying not to make a self out of it. And even if he has mentioned the truth, so later time he is not kind of trying to make a self out of that way of speech. Say, if you have made kind of a good comment, or you told the truth, and the others are started to praise you, so that through that praise, there's a possibility of making a self. And later on, you can even remember that how others have praised you and how you have bravely, probably you have mentioned the truth. So that one is careful of not to use for self-promotion. So likewise, when it comes to instead of doing the divisive speech, now suppose you are making kind of an agreement among two parties, say between two parties or among many people. So they also may appreciate what you have done. So even though you have done a good thing, even these good activities, now one is not trying to use for self-promotion, kind of a self-affirmation. And then it comes to the harsh speech. So one is not doing any harsh speech now, but one is talking is quite beneficial as well as useful, and others like to hear it, and you are talking softly. So likewise, there are certain good characteristics of the way of speech, and you are not making a self out of it. So later time, if those thoughts related to that speech comes to your mind, you start to disclaim it rather than making a self out of it. You are not using your way of speech to generate a self. And then it comes to the, instead of gossip, one is now avoiding gossip, and one is developing the valuable speech or some important speech, and even through that you are not trying to promote a self. Now therefore Buddha mentioned, so the other three path factors are also coming to the picture. So there is sammaditti, where the right view is there for you to recognize what is wrong speech and what is right speech. So you have that knowledge. So first of all, we discuss what are the wrong speech, and you know what is wrong speech. So always one is having that direction that I should avoid from wrong speech and should only use the right speech. So that knowledge is there, that direction is there. So that is the sammaditti. And then there is always going on an effort to avoid wrong speech and always trying to use the right speech. So this is the right effort or sammavayama. And one is always mindful of how you are talking, how one is talking. So the mindfulness is also there, sammasati. So therefore Buddha mentioned, for this right speech, three other path factors, right view, right effort and right mindfulness are going together. They do kind of a supportive task in order to fulfill right speech. Now Buddha also has mentioned the wrong types of speech. Now one is fairly onto the spiritual side, so he is now careful of what he is talking, and therefore he is now recognizing what are not the useful way of speaking. So Buddha actually has given a long list. There are usually 32 types of talking that Buddha has in a way criticized not to do it, especially for the monks, especially for the people who are more devoted to spiritual life. Buddha mentioned that don't talk on these subjects. So basically the subjects of kings, robbers, ministers, armies, dangers, battles, and food, about drinks, and again about clothing, beds, garlands, perfumes, relatives, vehicles, villages, towns, cities, countries. Now, as when I am talking like this, probably you may understand that almost all the topics that we are talking today are mostly included here. So, whenever we are talking about the government, we are talking about the politics, and all these many subjects are included here. And so instead of doing that, so what Buddha recommends? So he recommends something which is useful, and here Buddha mentioned talks concerned about the spiritual life, how one can further improve in one's life, develop in one's spiritual life. So because now we are trying to talk more into the supramundane type of sammavacha, right speech, so there are Buddha categorized 10 topics which is more conducive for spiritual life, spiritual development. So what are those? Appiccakata is talking about the fewness of desires. So typically we have countless number of desires. So we may be likes to see various things, we may like to hear various sounds, we may like to enjoy various odors, smells, tastes, and tactile sensations, and all these five kinds of sensual pleasures we always going after, and we are going through kind of a pleasure principle. Now instead of doing that, so Buddha mentioned, now you are going in a different track, you are now going against the grain. So rather than simply following the others, so try to have less desires. And the other part, that is the santuttikata, and having less desires, still you are contented. So this is, these two aspects actually go hand in hand. So even though you have less desires, it doesn't mean that you are suffering. It doesn't mean that you are extremely poor. Rather, whatever you have, the little you have, you are using it properly, and you are quite satisfied with it. There is no any kind of a continuous drive seeking for sensual pleasures, seeking for sensual gratification. So whatever you have, you are quite satisfied with, you feel like you are sort of fulfilled, and you are quite happy, you feel contented. So if one is talking about this kind of a situation, then Buddha admired it. So if one is preaching, if whatever discussion is going on to this direction, how to have less desires, how to be contented with what even with little you have. So this is called appiccakata and santuttikata, where you promote that kinds of having less desires, you promote the contentment. Santutti paramandanam, there is another statement comes in the Dhamma where Buddha mentioned, so if you are able to be contented, so then it becomes the most precious wealth that you can't simply get through the money or your whatever the assets. Rather, you have to have it through your own inner satisfaction. So there are enough people who are millionaires, billionaires, but still they are lack of this internal satisfaction. They always feel frustrated. They always feel unsatisfied. Even though billions they have, still they are not happy. But there are certain other people, they have something, but they are not so rich, but they can simply satisfy themselves and their families, and they are living quite happily. They have their own family agreements, they have their own family peacefulness, and there are enough time to dwell with their children and say husband or wife, and they have their family unity. So likewise, they are quite happy. On the opposite, there are billionaires who are quite unhappy. They are using extremely restful and tensed kind of a situation. So therefore we need to understand, it is not that having much and much, more and more, that you can become really happy. It can might even lead to have a lot of doubts and uncertainties and unsafe kind of an environment, unsafe kind of state of mind. But if when you are able to recognize this contentment, that actually helps you to become quite happy. And on the other hand, Buddha mentioned about the solitude, that is called paviveka kata. So if one is talking, especially when the Buddha teaches about being sort of secluded, maintaining a solitude. So there one is lending one's ears to listen to such kind of a talk. So typically we like to be with our friends, our family members, always being with them. So to have a continuous companionship with people. So instead of doing that, now this person, now he is going in a different direction. He starts to feel that how to be happy being alone. He doesn't feel lonely. Instead, while being alone, he can be happy. So probably you may also have experienced it as you are developing mindfulness practice, as you are developing, say, meditation. So there you probably understand, okay, being alone, I can be happy. I feel contented. I feel satisfied. I am not searching for someone else to talk. I don't want to phone another person. I don't want to text another person. I don't want to use these social media to connect with another person. I can simply be happy being alone. So this, you can understand, leads to some sort of a mental integrity, that you become fairly independent, you feel confident being alone. Typically what happens is the opposite. People always want to have everyone closer to them and always to have everything available onto their available at their vicinity. So always should be online, on call every time. But on the other hand, here when Buddha talks about solitude, so that gives us a different direction, shows us a different direction. Where being alone, one is still happy. And then Buddha talks of asansargakata, not bound up with others. Now there are various types of bounding, having certain bondages. Now one may like to see another person, always have to look at that person. So you may even have a photograph of that person and always looking at him or her. And you like this companionship just to see him or her. And sometimes you like to hear certain other person's voice. Or sometimes you like to have a conversation with that person. So always calling him or her, always likes that conversation, that dialogue you really prefer, you are enjoying it. You really have kind of an affection towards that. And sometimes you like to share your belongings with the other person. This doesn't mean that because of the generosity, rather you like to, say, share the other person's maybe clothing or maybe whatever it is, the other person's belongings that you are sharing, that you are having some sort of an enjoyment through that. So these are the various, and again, the other thing is of course the having the physical touch. Now these are the ways that Buddha mentioned, in Dhamma it is mentioned, that how people are having kind of a bondage. It may be physically, it may be through the sight, it may be through the sounds, it may be through sharing of resources, or it may be through the, say, the conversation. So while having this kind of affection, this kind of a sharing, if we feel sort of sexually attracted, sexually enjoyed, so that indicates that there is something going on. But here Buddha talks about the opposite. If you feel that you are sort of attracted towards that kind of a situation, then you need to understand, okay, there is some sort of a bondage going on. There are unarisen desires are now arising because of this kind of a behavior. So therefore you are now trying to recognize various desires, recognize various defilements, and you are now trying to find out various ways and means to minimize them. So if there is some sort of association which is promoting desires, so one is now trying to minimize that association so that your mind is free from desires. So likewise, if one is talking about this sort of a behavior, so that is not to have such bonds which is leading to more desires, more attractions, more sexual desires, sensual desires. So that is a type of speech that Buddha recommends to hear. And then Viriyarambha Katha. So that is where one is being advised to start effort or put forth effort for a spiritual life. And then Sila Katha, talking about one's virtues and one how to develop various levels of morality. How suppose that you are developing the sila, morality, in day-to-day activities, say about 5 precepts, and how about going for 8 precepts, so what would be the benefits, and what are the difficulties when you are maintaining, observing 8 precepts, 10 precepts. So likewise, one is talking about the sila, morality. So that is another subject Buddha recommends to talk. And then samadhi katha. So there are various information that we need to know when we are developing concentration. There are various suttas talking about concentration. Now, when we are discussing those type of concentration, say various jhanas, first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, so there are certain inclination happens in the mind. Why not I can't enjoy some that type of, say, supramundane type of concentration. So there is a kind of an interest happens in the mind towards this sort of a non-sensual kind of concentrated enjoyment, we can say, kind of a blissful enjoyment. So this is actually away from typical sexual gratification, sensual gratification. So when someone is talking on these subjects, so we, and Buddha mentioned, it is better to hear that. Because it doesn't promote any kind of sensual desire. Instead, you are now trying to find out ways and means in another way how to have kind of a satisfaction, how to have happiness, which is not harmful to yourself and not harmful to another person. And then Panya Katha, that is about the wisdom. How to develop various vipassana knowledges, how to practice vipassana meditation, and what are the various stages, various levels, what are the various understandings, what are the benefits. Likewise, Buddha mentioned how to develop these kind of states, and when one is talking about those subjects, and Buddha say it is beneficial to hear. And then it is called the Vimukti Katha. Now, when one is practicing like that, so if one is able to have sort of freedom, freedom from any attachment, freedom from any bondage, any grasping, and if there is a speech about that, then Buddha recommends it. So likewise here, actually what Buddha mentioned is, so he not only asked us to avoid those kinds of useful chattering, those 32 types of useless chattering. Instead, he is now proposing kind of 10 subjects. Okay, you people have to talk on these. It is necessary to discuss these. Because when we were discussing Sammaditti, probably we can even add here that Sammaditti first actually sometimes arise because of hearing from some another person. Actually, the Buddha's teaching, we hear from someone. We probably read a book, through that we start to understand. The Buddha's teaching does not immediately come from ourselves. Rather, we need to get that knowledge from external sources. Maybe someone is talking, someone is preaching, someone has written about it. So through those external sources, we are gaining that knowledge. So talking about those subjects, spiritual subjects, or maybe about the Dhamma, so therefore is quite beneficial. Having such discussions, having such kind of a conversation is quite beneficial. Therefore, Buddha recommends it. And there are certain suttas like Mahasunyata Sutta, where Buddha has explained various practical ways how a practitioner is more and more developing oneself. Actually, here now we are at a little higher level. We are talking about a practitioner who has come to a certain progress, who has already achieved certain progress. Arya Anasava Lokuttara Magganga. He is now developing kind of a noble path. He is now trying to refrain further and further the influxes. And he is trying to live a supramundane life. And he is developing a path. So therefore, he has already achieved some amount of progress. Now, Buddha mentioned in this Mahasunyata Sutta available in Majjhima Nikaya. So assume that this person, say he is practicing walking meditation, maybe sitting meditation, he is trying to lead a good life, and there in one occasion he get a thought, I want to talk. So it doesn't mean that one is completely avoiding any kind of talk. So that is sometimes going to an extreme, that you are trying to cut off everybody and you are trying to have a completely secluded life. You are not associating anyone, not talking with anyone. So that is going to an extreme. Buddha didn't recommend that. But time to time having a good conversation, a useful conversation is always useful. It's always sort of developing some confidence about the Dhamma and giving a lot of energy and even can enjoy what we are doing, and again one can share one's experiences, and when another party is developing, that also can be used to one's own happiness. Kind of a altruistic joy can be generated. So likewise, this kind of a useful chat, useful discussion is always promoted. So here Buddha mentioned that when this person who is now practicing especially the empty state of mind. You know that when one is developing the vipassana practice, so one may encounter a situation where one's mind is now fairly free from any sights. Mind does not show any signs of sights. Suppose you have gone to see a waterfall. Now after coming back home, so that memory may coming up to your mind. So the various beauties of that waterfall may coming as pictures or mental images in your mind. But this person, so his mind is fairly free from such mental images. So his mind is fairly free. His mind is fairly free from those signs, marks. Instead, he is having a fairly clean mind, fairly empty mind, fairly a spacious mind. Suppose when we hear something, suppose you have heard a lot of, say, beautiful songs. So there are always memories popping up and giving those thoughts, those melodies to the mind, so that mind get occupied with those melodies. So you are always fond of singing. So the mind get occupied with those kind of melodies, singing, sounds. So that is the typical nature. But as you develop vipassana, slowly those melodies, sounds and various memories related to those start to fade away and mind become fairly cleansed. Now you have a clean mind, clear mind, fairly purified mind. Similarly about the smells, taste, tactile sensations and various thoughts. Now mind you can maintain at least for some time without any thought. It doesn't mean that we should never think. Rather, we have now the capacity. When it is necessary, you can think. When it is not necessary, you don't need to think. So as we discussed in the Sammasankappa, right intention. So where one is developing Sammasankappa, we discussed that one is coming to a situation that one's mind is free from kama vitakka, sensual desires, sensual thoughts, free from ill will, and free from sort of harmful thoughts. And one can have maybe renunciative thoughts, compassionate thoughts, loving kindness thoughts, one can have. And on the other hand, if one further develops, one can even keep away those, say, wholesome thoughts. One can have a fairly spacious mind, fairly cleansed mind, fairly peaceful mind, free from thinking, free from inner chatter. So these are certain developed or progress levels in vipassana, say where you are capable of having such kind of a peaceful, silent, calm, tranquil mind. And there Buddha mentioned in that Maha Sunyata Sutta, assume that person is further now wants to purify himself. And he now get an idea that I want to speak with someone. I want to have a chat with someone. So it is natural. So you assume that you are practicing, but now you get a thought that I want to speak to another person. Now here Buddha mentioned, he makes a little determination. During this conversation, I should be careful not to arouse any defilements. Of course, I am going to talk with someone, but let me safeguard my mind. Let me take care of my mind without allowing to arouse various desires, various defilements, not to get polluted by this conversation. So there Buddha mentioned that he therefore avoid those 32 types of wrong speech. Rather, when he is talking to the other person, he tried to divert his speech towards the Dhamma, that we discussed those 10 topics, the recommended topics. So those are beneficial to oneself and beneficial to the other side, other person as well. So therefore it is a useful speech, and he is talking about maybe his own practice, or he is inquiring about another person's practice, and they both are encouraging themselves and appreciating the Buddha's teaching. So likewise, they get some sort of energy because of that correct conversation. And even while doing that, there's another aspect one can even watch. Because these conversations have the ability to generate subtle defilements. Suppose the other person is talking about his practice, and there could be a desire arising in oneself that I also should talk about my practice, and my practice is better than his practice. I am far away from him. He is simply a beginner. I am an expert. So even using the practice, you can make a self. So therefore, there is a sutta called Sappurisa Sutta. Buddha mentioned, even when one is talking about sila, if one is trying to make a self out of sila, out of morality, so he is not in the correct side. He has used morality to make a self. So that is not the path of the Buddha. That is not the path of the Dhamma. That is not the path of the Sangha. So there Buddha mentioned, he is a moral but not a good person. He is trying to condemn another person based on morality. When one is talking about samadhi, concentration, if one is trying to make a self out of it, suppose you are able to enjoy the bliss of first jhana, another person is not having that much of concentration. So you make a self out of it. You become proud of it. You make conceit out of it, thinking that I am so and so, I am enjoying first jhana. This person not having even come closer to it. So I am the one. So now you are making a self. Similarly, say someone is talking about vipassana. Say the other person has just started. He is simply doing, say, kaya anupassana. But now you are doing chitta anupassana. And you can think there are certain thoughts going on. So I am better than him. I am in a better position. He is simply doing kaya anupassana. Now I am in chitta anupassana. So you are making a self out of this conversation. The topic is but vipassana. There you can understand even these spiritual subjects can promote a self. So these are subtle aspects that we need to think of, that how even the valid topics can lead to generate a self. So therefore, that is why Buddha mentioned that we have to always vigilant about this I making and mind making. So all these types of different conversations have the possibility, have the capacity to make a self, or to have some possessive characteristic. So I am the owner, I am having first jhana, I am a person with first jhana, I am a person with vipassana knowledge, I am a person with, say, whatever it is. So whenever one becomes something, then we are going away from the Dhamma. So there are some, say, deep subjects like Atammeta, where Buddha asks or Buddha recommends not to make a self out of any situation, not to become someone at any time, and not to become something at any time. Say, for example, you are sort of making a speech like I am doing now. So I can become the preacher. So I am preaching. So I am the preacher now. So you all are listening. So I can make a self out of this preaching. So if I am making a self, then basically I have lost the path in a way. So I haven't properly based on Dhamma. Rather, I am trying to make this speech in order to make a self. So there I am basically away from Dhamma. So therefore, I have to be careful when I am talking. Am I trying to sort of attract others and to promote a self here to show off? So that I have to be careful. So therefore, conversations are very rich in that sort of mindful, say, investigation, where during conversation we have to be careful how various thoughts are popping up. My mind was fairly empty, but now as I am continuing in this conversation, there are various thoughts are coming up and they are promoting a self. How I can avoid such promotion? How I can avoid getting deluded by those thoughts? Instead, how I can simply continue the discussion while keeping the mind fairly empty, without any kind of a bondage, without getting attracted or without getting repelled? So when the other person is talking very beautifully, so in a very amenable manner, so we may feel attracted. We feel that, so he is talking very beautifully, I mean he is talking very pleasant, he is really good, I need to better talk him again, I should have a companionship with him. So likewise, there are various thoughts coming up because the conversation is very attractive. So we can actually have a honest reflection or introspection about what is really going on in our mind during the conversation. So that is in a way, so we are using Samma Vacha, and not only that, while engaged in Samma Vacha, we are taking care of the diligent about how the mind is reacting, how the mind is behaving. So while engaged in Samma Vacha, we are not promoting a self, we are not making a self. I making and mind making is, as much as possible, we are trying to recognize and to discard it, not getting deluded by it. So likewise, so this Samma Vacha has various aspects that we have to discuss in a way, and we have to refine, and through such refinement we can use Samma Vacha to recognize very subtle defilements. And when we are with kind of a discussion with another person, how the other person is reacting, and we can even guess what are the defilements operating in the on the other person's side. So because we understand that such a situation in ourselves, so originally, I mean, in a previous situation, we ourselves have gone through such situation, how my mind have reacted, how my mind has generated a self, and through that, how I have behaved, and how I have spoken, so I have such memory about it. So this is the way I am talking when lust is operating in my mind. This is the way I am talking when various desires are operating in my mind. This is the way I am talking when resentment is operating in my mind. So likewise, I have my own experiential knowledge. So when another person is behaving like that, so we therefore get an understanding, okay, these are the defilements at the moment this he is going through. He is subjected to these kinds of defilements. So in a way, that helps us to have kind of a sympathetic approach towards the other person, because he is helpless. He has become a victim of those defilements. I better, rather than becoming reactive or angry about that situation, I have to sympathize to the other person. He is not aware of it. He is not mindful of the defilements now currently going on or occupied in his mind. Rather, he simply follow those desires. He simply follow those defilements, and that is why he is behaving like this. Now, that kind of an understanding actually promotes a lot of other good qualities like forgiveness and bearing, tolerance, patience. So likewise, there are a lot of benefits. So you can see, through the speech, we have many ways to explore, many areas that we can explore, and many areas that we can even use for our benefit or the progress of our insights. So those are the areas that we can discuss in this supramundane type of Samma Vacha, where one is careful of one's speech, and during the conversation that one is careful of how mind is operating, and now he is not trying to promote influxes. Instead, he is now trying to sort of discard influxes or fade, allowing the influxes to fade away. So this is how the Samma Vacha is developed. In a way, it is more conducive for a noble path. So with that note, I like to conclude today's Sutta teaching. Now I open the session for questions.
Thank you, Bhante. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So, for any new friends who are joining us for the first time, you may ask for questions via chat, or you can raise your hand and ask them directly. So, Bhante, there was a question that was submitted last time. Allow me to read that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I believe it's more of a meditation report. I do daily walking meditation and I walk without noting. My mind deviates from the touch sensation to mostly thoughts. I just watch whatever comes, pain, thoughts, dhatu, guna, etc., with the same equanimity. I feel relaxed and sleepy. The sleepiness varies from slight to very sleepy. When the sleepiness increases, I listen to a sermon while walking. Then the sleepiness disappears. Is this correct, Bhante, or should I be just aware of the sleepiness? Also, I have a habit of using words which hurt people, which I don't do intentionally, which happens as a habit, but there is no anger in the mind. This happens with only family members. Please advise me, Bhante. May Bhante and all organizers attain nirvana in this life itself. Have a blessed day.
Yeah, so actually, while engaged in walking meditation, it is quite natural that the mind become fairly somewhat bored. And because you have to do the same thing again and again. So, if at that time, always if you are trying to deviate or distract yourself by listening to Dhamma or to have something else, so then you are not, actually it is not the correct thing to do. Because this boredom is something that we have to slowly understand. So, how are we avoiding boredom? So, whenever we feel bored, we may be calling another person, calling our friend, text another person, watching a movie. So likewise, we are using many ways and means to get rid of the boredom. But how the boredom arises? So whenever eyes doesn't have enough various kind of sights in order to agitate the mind. Whenever various sounds are not available to agitate the mind through the ears, whenever various smells are not available to, say, satisfy the mind through the nose, and whenever various states are not available to satisfy the mind through the tongue, and whenever there are tactile sensations not available in order to agitate or to make happiness through the mind, through the body, and when there are no sensual thoughts available in the mind, on such situation, we typically feel bored. But actually, it is not the boredom. It is kind of a peace where our mind is not now agitated. Mind is not burning now. And mind is free from any of those, say, kind of stimulations coming through various senses. So this is something admirable. So in order to admire it, in order to understand the positive side of it, you need to slowly become familiar with it. If you are always trying to get rid of such situation and if you are trying to avoid such situation, you will never learn the value of it. So that is why when you feel bored during the walking meditation, so don't immediately stop or don't try to listen to Dhamma at that time. Rather, just be with that boredom for at least for a few minutes. Suppose you endure it for 5 minutes today. During the next session, maybe you can endure it for 6 minutes or 7 minutes. Next day, you are enduring it for 10 minutes. So likewise, you have to slowly improve this. How to be with this boredom more and more. So then slowly, mind get used to it. Mind will understand, okay, I can be with it. I don't need various sounds to listen at this time. I don't need to listen to Dhamma at this time. I don't want to look at something. I don't want to smell something. I don't want to taste something. I don't want to even think something. I can simply be with this. Just be. So you are enduring boredom in a way. But ultimately, you start to give a different interpretation to this boredom. Instead of feeling bored, now I feel alone. I feel solitude. I feel secluded. So these are various aspects that we need to understand. So at the beginning it gives kind of a wrong or different connotation, different interpretation. Our mind is giving wrong interpretations. But we understand it. So Buddha has mentioned, okay, these are the possibilities available, but don't get misled by those inner comments. Rather, you endure it for a while. So you are enhancing that time period. Today I was able to endure 5 minutes. Let's try to endure it for 10 minutes on tomorrow. So likewise, you have kind of a direction onto the side where you are slowly enhancing that capacity. And later you may understand, okay, this is kind of a peace. Mind is not getting agitated. Mind is not getting stimulated. Rather, mind simply have its own kind of a knowing. Kind of a perceiving is going on. He is very aware, but there is no any sort of agitation available in the mind. So therefore, this is the direction that you need to move. So please correct it next time when you are doing walking meditation. Yeah.
Thank you, Panting. And the second part of that question was about having the habit of using words which hurt people, which this person doesn't do intentionally, but it happens out of the habit. And it seems like there is no anger in mind, and it only occurs with family members.
Yeah, so this, if you can recognize it, so that's a good sign. So we have various habits. So we, in a way, we can say that we are habitually conditioned to operate in a certain manner. We are habitually conditioned to speak in a certain manner. So that we need to honestly recognize. So as you have honestly mentioned here, so you have understood, I have this kind of a wrong habit, bad habit. So others get hurt because of my words. So now, as you develop mindfulness, try to recognize that habit. As a result, try to avoid that harsh speech. Probably you may not use harsh words, but the way of your, say, kind of criticisms, maybe sort of sarcastic, say, comment, others may get hurt. So you need to feel it. You need to feel how the other person was hurt. So this, in a way, sometimes called as emotional literacy. So where you are able to have kind of an understanding about another's feelings. So emotionally, you are sort of intelligent. So with this kind of an intelligence, you are a little careful about how you are using your words. So this is a good sign. Therefore, slowly correct yourself. Slowly understand where you make that mistake, where what is the limit that you need to speak, how your words makes the other person hurt. So by recognizing it, avoid it. So why do you want to really hurt another person? So rather allowing the habit to overpower you, now you are consciously make an effort to overcome that habit, to remove that habit, or at least to weaken that habit. So actually, we always have to do such kind of a self corrective activity. So always, we always have those kind of wrong habits, bad habits, which may be either harmful to oneself or to another person. And honestly recognizing those habits, slowly we have to remove those habits. So that is the corrective measure. And that is the vipassana. So whatever we all do, maybe samatha meditation, vipassana meditation, ultimately may come here, where you are honestly having kind of an introspection, how my mind is reacting, how my way of behavior is causing another person to get hurt. So how I can correct myself? How I can correct the way of speech? How I can correct the way of behavior? And likewise, you are slowly correcting yourself. So I think you are not too late. You have recognized your fault and try to correct it.
Thank you,
Bhante.
I'd like to invite Teacher
Jaden
to please ask the next question. Yes, thank you,
Jennifer. Bhante, I have just two questions. The first one is following this previous sort of answer, you know, when we go into this samadhi, in your previous talk said we must learn to just be with it. But sometimes one can get drowsy and actually even fall asleep. And so I was wanting to know if we can at that stage really observe, to prevent the, falling asleep, to observe the sense of peace and to really do a kind of vipassana on that. Is that acceptable?
Yes, of course. So probably you can remember, I think I discussed about the Bhojanga, seven enlightenment factors. So there we discussed that certain enlightenment factors are there which have the more tendency towards tranquility. And there are another group, they have more tendency towards activating the mind. So when you recognize, okay, now the mind is becoming drowsy and it can even go into sort of sleepiness, I should avoid it. So in order to avoid it, as you mentioned correctly, so we have to engage with some sort of a investigation. That is the Dhamma Vichaya Virya Piti. Those are the three enlightenment factors Buddha mentioned, which are a lot of energetic, which have sort of a awakening kind of an attribute, awakening kind of a, so rather than make you tranquil, now your mind get activated, more active. So that is the event, or that is the corrective measure at that time, yes, you need to take.
So we actually sort of talk to ourselves and say, this is the kind of peace and that kind of dialogue, would that be correct? Would that be correct to do that?
What do you mean? I mean, this is the peace in the sense?
Well, when we get very still and the mind becomes very still and to prevent the sort of tipping over to drowsiness, can we just have a dialogue with our mind, you know, sort of bringing attention that this is what it is, what we call tranquility and peace and
Right. So basically,
the mind have a conversation.
Yeah. So then in a way you are promoting kind of an inner chatter. So instead of promoting inner chatter, probably you can do kind of mindful investigation, say how the posture is prepared and how the maybe the breath is available. So the mind can be activated without inner comment or without any thoughts even. So that is much better rather than again agitating the mind, because inner chatter, the promoting of inner chatter may really harm the already generated calmness or tranquility available in it. But too much tranquility or the tranquility which is with some weak mindfulness, weak investigation also can lead to drowsiness. So that is where we need to do some sort of balancing activity. How to balance these two sides, tranquility as well as awakefulness. So if we can have
saying, Pat, is to become more mindful then of your posture or whatever that comes
Exit. So you can do some sort of a body scanning, going back to breath, or you can simply watch any kind of sensations available. So rather than simply dwell in that emptiness, which now probably can lead to say too much drowsy sort of situation, you can do a little bit of investigation again and again, little balance the situation. So you have wakefulness as well as the tranquility.
Right. Thank you, Bhante. And the other question is, you spoke about the 10 factors that we need to develop for supramundane speech, samavacha, the supramundane. Now, I just felt that this kind of practice is quite difficult in the lay life. I mean, I suppose we have to be very developed in the path, and maybe bhikkhus and bhikkhunis are more to that, because would you say that's correct if I make that comment?
So by being a lay woman, now you are in a good conversation. So this conversation also, now what we are doing is also, something spiritual, say something fairly talking about the Dhamma, about the practice. So I feel that you can time to time involve in this kind of an activity, this kind of a conversation, this kind of mindful listening. So that is coming under the 10 topics. So there are other devotees, lay devotees as well, who are practicing. So that is where, it is not very correct to say that this is only for the monks and nuns, but as lay people, so you also have, there are many practitioners available in the lay community. So they actually do a very good job. They actually honestly practice. So that is, in a way, talking or rather say sharing, kind of honest sharing of information actually gives us kind of a confidence that it is not only me, there are many others who are trying to develop the path. So this Dhamma is still available. It is still possible to get a lot of benefits through Dhamma. There are many people who are following it. So likewise, by recognizing it, we feel a lot of confident.
So we do. I do a lot of conversation with like-minded people, Bhante, but of course we have as lay people, we go to for a job, we have to go to the shops, we have to do this, that, hundred amount things. So you tend to get deviated a little bit, you know, to put yourself really into this.
Yes.
Sometimes it's difficult. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, even in the monastery, even among the monks, so we have that situation. I mean, it is not that we always talking about meditation or any of these, but rather sometimes making a job can have a kind of such thing is also necessary. in order to, you know, to avoid the, say, stiffness or any kind of, say, tension sometimes available. So, so that is acceptable. And I feel, I mean, if we are trying to have a completely perfect kind of a situation, that is also not possible immediately.
Yes.
Maybe
yes.
maybe we can try once we become an Arahant, probably we can live like that. But anyway, Buddha also has, I mean, it is not really jokes, but he has enjoyed the nature. So there are many there are many Arahants who have really enjoyed the nature. So it is not that once they fully enlighten that they become completely bored or completely senseless kind of situation. Rather, they are quite happy, quite contented, and they really being with the nature. Even though they are alone, they feel happy. So that is the thing that we need to learn.
Yes, I understand, Bhakti.
Yeah.
I think this is a gradual process anyway,
exactly.
we are in the trying to do our best and on the path up to a point, I believe.
Yes, yes, correct.
Yes, yes, thank you, Bhakti.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to invite you, D. iPhone, to please ask the next question.
Good one, Saranai Lante. I just have a question about meditation. Can you hear me? I just want to make sure.
Yes, yes. Can you tell me your name? Because the name doesn't represent in the properly
yeah,
in the Zoom.
My name is Udani.
Right, right.
Yeah, I just have a question about meditation. I have, like, for example, today I was meditating and for about an hour, and there are about three times where I reached like a stillness, a state of bliss that I really felt difference, and I felt it before in many different levels. But I have trouble staying there staying in that state because, like, it's often those states are often followed or disturbed by troubling thoughts. Like fearful thoughts, and I feel my mind is telling me that I need to control those thoughts, otherwise those troubling things will come true. And like I have a tendency to try and control my thoughts because of some fear that my mind has implanted in it, that these thoughts, they're real or they'll come true if I don't control them. And I've reached states of bliss before in meditation, but they're often like these troubling thoughts often try to, you know, take me away from those states. So I'm just wondering if you could comment on that.
Yeah. So basically, it seems like you are doing some samatha practice. Am I correct? So how are you reaching to this blissful state?
You know, for years I had a hard time getting there, but about a year ago, I sat in the position, the asana that the Buddha sits in, with the legs crossed all the way down, and it was very strange. Almost immediately after I closed my eyes, I got into that state. Before, it was very hard for me to do it, but when I sat like that, for some reason, it came so easily for me. So when when I sit like that, when I just, you know, close my eyes and like let go of just be in the moment, or just let go of, you know, the whatever it is,
yeah.
I go into that state and
yeah.
I'll be there.
Yeah, now I understand.
Then
so basically,
thoughts come.
Correct. So basically, at this time, now you are more into the concentration-oriented type of meditation. So it is true. So this type of concentration is very fragile. So even the slightest thought can make you disturbed. But instead of simply trying to achieve some sort of a blissful state, now start watching your breath, or watching rising and falling, or watching various sensations available in the mind. You know, there are many different ways of having some stable tranquility or stable concentration available in the mind. So what you are trying to do is simply by say restricting all the external factors and to make you kind of comfortable and tranquil. So this is not the correct approach. So what you need to do, it is true that this is also kind of a tranquil state of mind, but it is very fragile. And this is the samatha approach, the tranquility approach. Rather, try to do walking meditation, and there also each and every step, try to make that sensation very mindful. And there you are now doing some sort of an investigation. How really my foot is felt? When left foot is touching the ground, what really I feel? When right foot is touching the ground, what really I feel? So likewise, you do kind of mindfulness practice. Not that you are trying to be in a kind of a concentrated state. Rather, you have continuous mindfulness, but your concentration is completely varying from left foot to right foot, from right foot to left foot, from left foot to right foot. So likewise, it's a kind of a mindfulness is continuous, but the subject of concentration constantly change. And such a practice will lead you to the development of wisdom. And such a practice even you can bring to the sitting session, where you simply cross-legged sitting, and after you feel comfortable, so the developed concentration, now you are used to investigate the whole body. So this is the mindful investigation. And this is in a way the Kayanupassana. So now we are into the Vipassana side. So that will give you later. It definitely will take time. Don't expect it within several weeks. It may take long time. But the stability of the mind that you will take, the stillness of the mind that you will reach, is far more stable, far more mature than what you are experiencing today.
So, thank you. What do you think about these intrusive thoughts?
So, those are natural. Okay. Those are natural. So, that is why in the Vipassana, so those are we are using later as kind of raw material for our own practice. Now, suppose you get various sensual desires while you are in this state. So, you are not feeling it as an intruding desire, intruding thought. Rather, they have the nature to come and go. You are not much sort of shocked by them. You are not bothered too much about them. So you understand, okay, this is the nature of the mind. So these thoughts have the nature to come. They have the nature to go. So you are not making any fuss out of it.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on how my mind is trying to control these thoughts?
So that is why, I mean, the controlling is one way that you are simply trying to suppress these thoughts. So that is not the correct approach. So that is that way you are temporarily sort of suppressing the thoughts. You are not trying to recognize. You are not trying to understand how they are behaving. Even at this state, if you are able to recognize, okay, how these thoughts are behaving, how am I trying to resist them? So even this resistance is making kind of a small stress in me, kind of a tension in me. So likewise, so it is now you are trying to understand more deeply about the how mind is reacting. So the mindfulness practice have the space for this mindful investigation.
Mm-hmm.
I think your internet connection is a little weaker.
When I don't try to come and go, sometimes they just get more and more. Yeah, so
your internet connection is weaker. I think we hardly hear it.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes.
So I was saying sometimes when I don't control these thoughts or when I don't try to control them, they just get bigger and bigger or worse and worse.
Yeah, definitely.
Is that normal? It seems like they become more powerful when I don't do anything.
Yeah, that's right. That is because you have weak mindfulness. So if you do gradual practice into the mindfulness, so there is a stage. So as you are aware of these thoughts, rather than they become sort of magnified or they become stronger, they start to fade away. But currently still you haven't come to that level. So rather, once you become aware of them, you start to promote them unknowingly and they become stronger and overpower you. So don't worry about it. I mean, don't worry. There are enough space to develop. So that's why I promote you to do, say, walking meditation. There you definitely will not get kind of a bliss. So don't expect bliss out of the practice immediately. Rather, try to have kind of an investigation, development of the wisdom. So that way you are understanding yourself. You are understanding how various phenomena are behaving. That is more powerful than simply trying to suppress and trying to control all these possibilities and to have a very restricted state of mind.
Okay. One question. You said I'm unknowingly trying to, my mind is unknowingly promoting these thoughts. Do you know in what ways it may be doing that so I can aware of it?
Yeah, I mean, so whenever thought comes, if you feel sort of unhappy about it, if you feel a little fearful about it, even that kind of a fear actually promotes it.
Okay, so I'm just, what do you suggest to do when that fear comes?
Yeah, you don't need to be fearful. Thoughts are merely thoughts. So that understanding, that's why I'm telling. So at the moment, you are trying to protect your concentrated state of mind, blissful state of mind. And at that time, all these thoughts, you feel like intruders. They are trying to disturb me. They are trying to disturb my concentration, this bliss. So you feel like they are intruders. So you have kind of a hate towards them. So this is not the correct approach. So more and more, that is why, say, during the walking meditation, for example, there are many thoughts. Not like this even. There will be many thoughts. But don't look at them in this manner. Rather, while thoughts are there, see how you can keep your attention on the foot. Say your foot is touching the ground. Thoughts are coming and going. I am not worried about that. I accept it. So this is the nature of the mind. But then and there, I am trying to keep my attention on the left foot. Keep my attention on the right foot. What I am feeling there. So likewise, you are slowly developing other qualities necessary for the practice. Not just the restricted, constrained level of mind. Rather, you are now enjoying or rather inviting various other skillful means to the practice. So one is mindfulness, one is wisdom, one is investigation, one is, say, correct aiming. So likewise, there are many other, say, necessary qualities that we have to invite to our practice. So as we are doing such kind of a cooperative activity, kind of a coordination, then later you will be able to overcome this situation. This won't be a big issue then.
Thank you, Bhante. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Bhante. Yeah. Um, I'd like to invite Nahisha to please ask the next question. Well, Nahisha, are you able to unmute?
Thanks, Jennifer. Bhante, can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. I was thinking of the topic that we were talking today. So it's understandable that when we practice, actually we feel like slowly and little by little we don't want to, you know, get into conversations with people. If we have previous experience of, you know, getting into the unwholesome speech or, say, the speech which is not, you know, supporting our practice. We're getting discouraged to such conversations, which is good. But, you know, the understanding the personality of self, that talking and talking was, you know, the thing that we were doing since the day we started talking. So it's kind of a comfort giving to us. And so I'm having kind of a personality that I enjoy talking to people.
Yeah.
And express, you know, the views of mine as well as, you know, understanding other person's view. So now, actually, I got into, after getting into practice, I feel like I discouraged myself. Okay, no, it's no point talking to that person, because then unwanted thoughts will come to my mind later on after the conversation. So I feel like, oh, that's disturbing my practice and I shouldn't. So like that, I restrict myself, which is I quite like. And then I have people called, you know, I call them like noble friends who are actually in practice in somehow or the other way, not in the same pattern like I do, but I don't mind. So I feel like talking to those people that now, which I like to ask from you, Bhante, like what kind of things that we should talk, because I'm asking the question because even though if I talk with them, they again divert to the, you know, day-to-day things like, you know, the politics and sorts of either sports or, would say, the sicknesses, especially with the pandemic situation, which then I try to, you know, divert myself again into back to the Dhamma, but it's sometimes not successful. So I would like, for example, like examples of, you know, how can we have a, you know, word conversation which will help to our practice, which like,
yeah,
what we were talking about today, like Samma Vacha, but
yeah,
what kind of topics actually we can talk, you know, which will help, because I have the habit of talking.
Yeah.
I think it will fade off as the time passes on, but I think I need to, you know, I can't suppress myself, you know, oh, no, you can't talk today. I can't do it like that every day. And why I'm trying to, you know, have a practice like that, you know, slowly, you know, rather than compressing, you know, you let the things to happen. So slowly my talking, need of talking will be less and less and less in the times to come. But for the time being, I need to do it once in a way, at least with the kind of such called noble friends.
Yeah.
If I don't do it, I tried a couple of days not doing it, even with my family. I tried texting them, because normally kids like text rather than, you know, talking to them. So I got the habit of text them in the morning saying, oh, how are you? And then the around in between also, did you have your dinner, something like that. So that helps, and they like it too. So I have that in my immediate family. But then I started like doing comfort eating. So I feel like, you know, after a meditation session, oh, okay, you did a good thing, or you can have something now to eat. So much of snacks during the time. So I feel like that is the way that how I compensate myself with my talk. Because I don't talk now, I need to eat. So I need to manage. So I try my strategies to manage. So I need some help from,
yeah,
or advice from Bhante, how to manage this situation and balance myself.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think you already have started, and you already reflected how you are doing it, and you are already trying various mechanisms to handle it, and that is the good sign. And again, I think, all these texts and all these things I basically don't much appreciate, because that will sometimes lose the direct touch, because being with your kids and being with the, say, your close people, so having that direct touch really helps to maintain a good relationship, because now these gadgets actually sometimes actually destroy the relationships, and they basically loosens the relationships, and we are sort of making unnecessary distance because of these gadgets sometimes. But on the other hand, as you said, if we are going to promote too much conversation, too much gossip and all these things through direct touch, through direct conversation, face-to-face conversation, that is also something that we need to think of. And on the other hand, we have to have some compassion as well. that is true that we are continuing some sort of a practice, that is true. But the others also, for the others also, we should give some time. So our heart should have some space for others as well. If we have a very close kind of a situation where I should talk only with this person, he also should talk only on this subject. If not, I am not going to talk with him. So this way, in a way, we are putting too much restrictions. And whenever the other person start to talk something different, so we get hurt or we get upset. So that in a way, we are the ones going to suffer. So therefore, our practice has to have some flexibility. So our mind, rather than having various fixations, it is true that, as Buddha has mentioned, these are the subjects it is worthy of talking. But we can't expect everyone to talk like this. So even in the monastery, that there are monks talking about the today's situation. So I have to sometimes have to listen to them. And I also have to sometimes look at news, because I am also involved in certain, to some extent, this administrative task. So I have to have the updates about what are the situations now, whether the restrictions are loosened, whether the situations is now getting better or getting worse. So I also have to get in touch with this situation. So depending on the circumstances, so we have to engage with some amount of, these kind of activities. But on the other hand, even though we deviate ourselves from our practice during those time, how quickly can we come back to the track? So that is also something important. Sometimes it is mentioned as resilience, where various subjects, various, as you have mentioned, say you go to the office and you have to deal with various mundane activities, and that might have deviated you from the correct practice. But how quickly you are able to put yourself back to the practice? So that is something that we need to understand. So we have to have some self-compassion as well as compassion towards the others. We have to accommodate others as well. So if we always try to cut off the others and have a very restricted association, to some extent we have to do it, but still we should not have a kind of an isolated type of life, not associating with anyone else. So that is also going to an extreme. So having a balance is always a kind of a challenge. How to find this balance? Even when someone else is talking completely nonsense, am I able to maintain calmness in the mind? Because you know, even Buddha and the Sangha going on village Pindapatha, there are people who were talking in abusive language, and some monks actually hurt. And they came to the Buddha and they complained, "Pante, let's leave this city." So these people are using harsh words. They are using abusive language while we are going on the Pindapatha, on the alms round. "Let's leave the city." So that is the proposal they made. But Buddha didn't do that. Buddha said, "Don't worry, simply endure it. You have to go through it. You have to see the situation." So this, in a way, so all these possibilities, all these difficulties, all these various shortcomings that the other people are showing us, helps us to understand how our minds are reacting. Even the slightest, say, harsh words, is it make me really unhappy? Is it make me to think completely cut off that person without, say, appreciating the, assume, say, we were in a discussion. The other person has mentioned, say, 100 or 1,000 good things. But mistakenly, he has mentioned something unpleasant as well. Another word which is not acceptable. But there are 999 good words as well. But unfortunately, our tendency in the mind is to pick that wrong word and to ignore all those 999 good words and to pick the bad word, the wrong word, and to criticize the other person. So this is the sort of tendency we have as human beings. So how about appreciating the good things the other person is doing? Appreciating the good words the other person was sharing. So it is true that ourselves also we talk nonsense sometimes. Other persons also talk nonsense sometimes. So we have to have that kind of acceptance, compassion in order to live in the world. So we can't make the whole world perfect. And we can't immediately make ourselves also perfect. So ourselves are not perfect. Others are also not perfect. So have this kind of a flexibility, have this kind of an accommodating mind is also necessary. So therefore, I feel we have to incorporate these kinds of possibilities also to the practice. This in a way helps us to maintain good relationship with others and live harmoniously with others. I feel that is necessary. Okay, anyway, I have to end that session today right now because I have some other activity to engage with. So I think another person, I think Mrs. Rajika also has raised the hand. Shall we postpone your question to next time, please? Or else you can write the question to Jennifer so that we can discuss next time.
Yes, that would be great. Radhika, if you need my contact information, please ask me via chat.
Okay, then we'll wind up the session for today. And by discussing the Dhamma as well as listening to Dhamma, so we were able to gather a lot of merits. Let's share the merits with all the beings. Let's recite the traditional verses. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Akasattha ca bhummatta deva naga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bhummatta deva naga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu desanam. Akasattha ca bhummatta deva naga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu mam param. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukhita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukhita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukhita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.